Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our conversation on the paranormal, psychic phenomena. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. Ron is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Frisco, Texas. He's author of numerous books, including his latest. We're giving it away to the best callers and emailers during this hour, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomenon. Ron, welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's good to be with you again.
All right, let's jump in with both feet. We'll go to Chicago, where Korea listens on WYLL. Hi, Korea. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
I was calling about the response about the psychic and mediums. Can't this be like a familiar spirit? Because, you know, it says that demons know all about humans because they studied us, thus opening up our mouth. And so I think when, I don't know his name, the show, the guy you're talking about, I think they listen to a voice. Somebody's telling them something. We know it's not Jesus. So I think he could be talking to us, having some type of dealing with a demonic activity where this demon is telling him something about this person that he knew, the grandma, because it's a familiar spirit. And then you had said something about when people die, where do they go? It says in the Bible to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We know we're talking about Christians going to heaven. And then it talks about when the rich man had died, how Lazarus, he had said, send Lazarus to dip his finger on the tip of my tongue because this place is hot down here. And he said, tell my brother, I want to warn them about this place. So that lets me know that when you're dead, you're gone. You're either going to heaven or either hell. So Satan knows that, you know, when you, it's more in the unseen realm than it is in the natural realm.
Korea, thank you very much. All right, she asked the question. I think it was about John Edward. You've looked into what he does. Do you think it's possible that he simply has what Scripture refers to as the familiar spirit with which he consults to get some of his information?
Well, in an earlier show, I mentioned Acts 16:16, which speaks of a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. And her owners made a great deal of money by her amazing fortune-telling ability. But then the Apostle Paul cast the spirit out of her, and she no longer had the ability to engage in fortune-telling. And that has led many to conclude that there is a direct relationship between psychic phenomena and a spirit of divination or a familiar spirit. And to give you a short answer, I think that yes, there are such spirits at work with John Edward and James von Prague and Sylvia Brown and other major psychics. One of the things that's very interesting here is that each of these individuals talk about Jesus and God and the gospel and the Bible. And just to give you an example, they say that God is in all things, pantheism. They say that Jesus is basically a good man who had psychic abilities himself, and that just as Jesus did this, so we can do it. They will tell you that there is no hell, and therefore you don't have to trust in Jesus as a Savior. Jesus was just a way shower to show us how to do the kinds of things that psychics do. Now, do you see any red flags there?
Just a few, yeah.
But, you know, does that give you sort of an indication or a clue as to where some of this might really be coming from? I mean, we do know in John 8:44 that Satan is the father of lies, and we also read about doctrines of demons in Scripture. So it seems to me that a lot of what these guys are setting forth are doctrines of demons that are inspired by demons.
Matt calls from Florida. Matt, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good evening, Todd. You actually kind of stole my thunder because I was going to bring up Acts 16:16. But I was going to bring it up under a little bit more of a context because I looked up some. I've been looking at things about spiritism because, having come out of a word of faith tradition, I believe that that's the word of faith thing is really kind of a spiritism-driven thing, because as I read what spiritism is about, I can't tell the difference between what I used to be in and what I am now. So I look at, like, Act 16 here, and I see that there's a place in there where the girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." In other words, this spirit is telling the truth. In fact, they made a lot of money off of the fortune-telling, you know, the owners of the slave girl. And, you know, this demon that was there was telling the truth, wasn't lying to people, wasn't deceiving people, but was actually telling the truth. In other words, these demonic spirits will tell you stuff that's going to happen. They're going to do it in order to lead you down that path. And as I look at the way Spiritism is, they actually seek that out. And that's where they get trapped.
All right, Matt, thank you very much, and thanks for listening down there in Florida. Now, he brings us back to Acts 16 there, Ron. So someone says, well, if it... You mentioned before that the devil is the father of lies, but the devil can tell the can deceive in the name of the truth and can use the truth to deceive as well.
Well, that's right. In fact, Satan can quote Scripture. I mean, if you look at Matthew 4 with the encounter that Jesus had with the devil, certainly the devil knows how to even quote Scripture, but he always quotes it with a view toward ultimate deception. If I take a full glass of water, and then drop a single drop of poison into it, that kind of poisons the whole thing, and I wouldn't drink it. And in the same way, Satan can tell a certain amount of truth, but he always mixes in enough lie to be deadly. And this is something that we see commonly in the kingdom of the cults. You know, the kingdom of the cults, for example, will talk about God and Jesus and sin and Satan and so forth, but they always add a, you know, doctrinal twist to everything that they believe, so it comes out being a completely different belief system in the end. And the religion of spiritualism is no different. Yeah, there's going to be some times when some truth is told, and there might even be some times when a psychic is accurate in something they say, but the ultimate end is deception, and people are drawn away from the living God. And that's why I think God condemns it so effectively in Deuteronomy 18. Now, here's something else, Todd. In Deuteronomy 13, we are told that even if a psychic says something that comes true, you are not to listen to him because he teaches a different God and false doctrine. You see, so the doctrinal test itself is enough to completely stand against the psychics. You know, if they've got a different God or a different Jesus, that in itself, according to Deuteronomy 13, is enough to reject everything that they stand for.
Okay, so that goes to the question I had in the previous hour that we didn't get to, and that is, whether it's the ghosts or the mediums or the psychic phenomena, the paranormal, at the bottom line, if it is taken seriously, we're really talking about an alternate false religion, not simply a human skill or a human or paranormal phenomenon that can be incorporated into a Christian's life. It's a false religion.
Well, it's not just a false religion. It is probably the oldest false religion in history. I mean, we see this stuff way back in the Old Testament among the Babylonians and the Assyrians and other people. And so it's been around for a very long time. I think that the difference today is that it has been whitewashed by Hollywood. You know, you've played some excerpts in the previous show from different Hollywood television shows. And you might look at it this way. You might have seen some of those shows where they do a makeover on a person where by the end of the show they look much better than they used to. Well, that's exactly what Hollywood has done with psychic phenomena. They've taken it and they've made it look very, very good and appealing, and they make it look like everybody should be involved in it. But even though it's been whitewashed, it is just as deadly as ever. And that's why I'm trying to sound the warning with this book.
Paul in Milwaukee writes this via email, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and we might have to wait to the other side of this break to get Ron's response. Occult influence is great in contemporary society, but can we quantify it with confidence? A third of the population, or 71% of youth, is serious, but in a free, open society, an activity that is unregulated, how can we know the numbers? Are the above figures based on surveys where it's a testimony of the few surveyed and then projected to the whole population? If not, what is the method leading to the above numbers? And his second question, we'll deal with this on the other side of the break, does the occult operate to any significant extent under the cloak of professionalism? When we come back from this break, Dr. Ron Rhodes will respond to Paul's email from Milwaukee. We invite your email as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. He's president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Frisco, Texas. He's author of numerous books, including his latest called The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomenon. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. All right, so Paul raises a legitimate question. If, as Ron said in the previous hour, over 100 million in the United States alone believe in ghosts or psychic phenomenon or the ability of mediums to contact the dead or the paranormal. 71% of the youth have been involved in something related to these activities and beliefs. How reliable are those numbers? How do they come to us? We'll find out right after this break. 1-800-730-2727 or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Christianity in a Pagan World, Lessons from Ancient Israel and Early Christianity, and Confessional Lutheranism in the Ecumenical World are the themes for the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year's symposia begin January 16th and end on January 19th. Now for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. The fellowship alone is worth the registration fee, and you can experience the Christ-centered, cross-focused worship life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. It's the 2006 Symposia Series, January 16th through the 19th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, issuesetc.org or call 260-452-2241.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues, Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. We're talking about the paranormal, psychic phenomenon, and the like. Paul in Milwaukee wrote this via email asking about whether or not we can quantify the influence of the occult in society with any confidence. You had mentioned some numbers before in the last hour of our conversation, Ron. How reliable are these numbers in your estimation?
I think the numbers are very reliable. The one statistic that I mentioned first, which was that 38% of Americans believe ghosts can come back and visit us, this was taken by the Gallup organization, a Gallup poll, and this is a very reliable organization. I might point out that presidential elections use polls of small representative target audiences by which they extrapolate what the general population believes. The polls are extremely accurate with a very small margin of error, and it's by using that same method that professional pollsters interview a representative sampling of Americans and from that data extrapolate what the general population believes on psychic phenomena. In other words, the data is just as accurate as that used in presidential elections. In terms of the teenage statistics, with 73% of Americans youth participating in psychic activities, this was done by another professional pollster by the name of George Barna, whose data is regularly reported in national magazines and is very respected. So my point is that I think that these are very, very accurate statistics, and like I said, they've got a very small margin of error.
The other question that Paul had was, does the occult operate to any significant extent under the cloak of professionalism? Now, I'm assuming here he's asking about, say, the psychological or the psychiatric disciplines.
Well, I think that you would have to admit that there is a field known as parapsychology in which professionalism comes into play here. This is the professional, people who study psychic phenomena. These are people who do academic studies on occultism. I might also bring into the mix the paranormal investigation teams who, come into houses and use scientific equipment and try to do a professional investigation to find out whether, you know, there really is any kind of a ghost presence there. They will bring infrared cameras and recording equipment, special thermometers with the idea that if there's a ghost present, it will be colder in a part of the room. And, by using special photographic equipment, you can take pictures of ghost orbs, which, that kind of look like little specks of light in a picture. But in any event, I would categorize those as professionals as well. I would say that despite the professionals that are involved in the study, a lot of the data is highly subjective in nature. This is not something that is, got hard proof like certain scientific disciplines do. There's a lot of subjectivism here, not just in terms of the data itself, but how that data is to be interpreted.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Tex is listening in Chicago on WYLL.
Abby.
Hi.
I was 18 years ago, I was traveling down the road, and if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't have done this, but I had a vision in front of me of a crash from the other side coming out into my side, and I'd moved over a lane after I saw this vision, and then 30 seconds later, it happened just like I saw it. Well, I rebuked it because I didn't believe it was from God, but do I have to ask for forgiveness for that too?
Okay, that's a very interesting question, Tex. Thank you very much. Powerful premonition, I guess you might call it here, Ron. What would be your advice to someone who realizes that might be a dangerous thing?
Well, I would ask him if he had ever had any kind of previous involvement in the occult. Even as a child, has he ever played with a Ouija board or participated in a seance? Has he read astrology columns regularly? Has he ever consulted a palm reader where the palm reader looks at the lines on your palms and makes predictions about your life? Has he been involved in tarot cards? I mean, there's all kinds of different forms of occultism, because a lot of the people who report these kinds of incidents have some kind of involvement in the occult. Now, if he doesn't have involvement in the occult, I would ask him if maybe one of his parents did, or a grandparent. A lot of times, parents influence their kids into being interested in this kind of thing. For example, you played some tapes by John Edward. I also think about Sylvia Brown and James von Prague, all of whom had parents who were interested in psychic phenomena and passed that interest on to their kids.
So, you're not necessarily talking about someone who simply had casual contact with something and then it's had no conscious influence on them. You're talking about, is there a real connection with activities that are either directly or indirectly connected to the occult?
Well, that's right. I mean, if you're participating in some of the things that I mentioned, and, you're taking some of that stuff seriously, I mean, all this stuff is false religion. Let's admit it and call it like it is. It's a false religion that God condemns, and yet people participate in these things. And almost without exception, the people that report what they call, psychic insights or psychic flashes, have some kind of involvement in the occult in their past. Even a casual acquaintance with messing around with the Ouija board can draw a person deeper into this kind of stuff. And that's why I always tell people that if you've messed around with this kind of stuff, number one, you've got to repent and turn away from it. Number two, get rid of all your paraphernalia. If you've got tarot cards or a Ouija board in the closet, get rid of it. Number three, renounce it. And number four, turn to the Lord. And if you do those things, I don't think that you're going to have a situation where you're having these kinds of psychic flashes that so many people report that have been involved in the occult.
Frank is listening in San Jose, California on KFAX. Hi, Frank. Frank, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make a comment. And your guest there's comments were just about addressing what I wanted to bring up. I had a number of experiences. Number one, I died in 1970 in a motorcycle accident. And came back to life. I went into white lights, they call it. But the thing about spirits are, is I don't understand why people have such a hard time with this and understanding what God's trying to say. First off, God is a spirit. And I think we think of him as a little old white man with a white beard. The second issue is that he says that he has legions of angels around us all of the time, that there's a spiritual warfare going on. Ephesians 6 covers that in great detail. When I operated a studio in Michigan some years ago, a woman brought in to me a picture where she had been to the seance, and I was a photographer, and she wanted to know if that I could make a copy of that. And she handed it to me, and with the first couple of seconds, my initial instinct was just slam it back in her hand and tell her to get out of my store. But I did look down, and you wouldn't want to see that picture. There's no question these were demons in hell. It was a horrible, ugly thing that I ever saw. That it went and looked like they were trying to get out of the picture, kind of speaking. But you better learn that there's spirits in this world and that there's a battle going on around you, all the time, right now.
Frank, thank you very much. And thanks for listening on KFAX. He mentioned a number of things there. Your general response with about a minute before we go to this break, Ron?
Well, what comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 11:14, where the Apostle Paul sternly warns that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. A lot of people are claiming to be in contact with the dead today, but I believe that Satan and some of his demonic angels are masquerading as dead human beings in order to deceive people away from the true Christ of Scripture. They have a malevolent, sinister purpose, and that's why we need to be discerning today. Doctrines of demons are growing left and right. And that's why we need to use the Bible as our one standard of truth, the barometer of truth against which all other truth claims should be measured.
Very briefly, before we take our break, Frank had mentioned a near-death experience. According to your research, what's the connection between the near-death experience and the things we've been discussing here?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that most of the people who talk about near-death experiences talk about this great being of light. And that great being of light typically says that all people are welcome, that you don't have to worry about a sin problem or trusting in any particular savior, that all people go into the great light at the end. And that sort of communicates a universalistic message, and that needs to, really raise a red flag in the minds of, discerning Christians, because, a lot of people think that great light is Christ. But Christ would never say something like that, because Christ told us more about hell than any other person in the Bible. And so we need to really look at these near-death experiences with discernment from Scripture, because a lot of what is taught by this being of light goes against what the Bible teaches.
Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727, and we'll take more of your email, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton, on why you should support LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief is so important because it gives flesh to the love that Christ commands us to have. I'm reminded of the words from 1 John, where the apostle wrote, "Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And when you support LCMS World Relief, that is precisely what you're doing. You're loving in deed and in truth. You're providing food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless and clothing for the naked. It's a way that the love of Christ is actually incarnate and touches these people's lives, and it's just a wonderful thing.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Our guest, Ron Rhodes, is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. You can check out their website by visiting ours, issuesetc.org. Under the section titled Links, you're going to find a direct link to Ron Rhodes and Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. Or if you'd like to contact Ron and Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Ron Rhodes and Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, 1-800-737-0172. Let's go to Lee's Summit, Missouri, where Vicki listens on KCCV. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
My question is when I was 7 years old, I got electrocuted from extension cord. And I remember very vividly, like, I was on the ground from the extension cord, but, like, I could see everything that was going on, like, from above, like, all the people that were there and all the happenings and stuff. If my brother pulling the cord out of my mouth, and I wondered if you could explain that to me.
Vicki, that's a very good question. In fact, that's a story that I don't know how many times I've read in various venues, Ron, similar stories about what is usually called the near-death experience, or this sensation, this experience of floating above oneself when one has been incapacitated.
Well, the thing that is especially notable in many of these cases is that some of the data that is reported by the person who was, you know, hovering above reports details that, you know, actually happened. In other words, by interviewing the people in the room, the doctors and the nurses and so forth, very often they, you know, recount word for word what was said and what was done and so forth. Gary Habermas and J.P. Moreland have done some research on this, and one of the points that they make, and I think it's a good point, is that if there are indeed false near-death experiences, then there must by virtue of that also be true near-death experiences. In other words, they talk about the possibility that some people, even Christians, may have some experiences, not where they're truly dead, but where they have some kind of an experience like this person has reported. Now, I really have a warning here, Todd, and that is that all of us have experiences to one degree or another. But it's my feeling that our best policy is to always test those experiences against Scripture, because it is possible that during an experience you may come into contact with something that could lead you astray. And we're dealing with the spirit world, which is something that, you know, we don't really know much about other than what the Bible has told us. And if you really want to know about the spirit world, doesn't it make sense to test everything against the one book that really, truly, accurately details information about the spirit world? And so my exhortation is that, you know, no matter what experience you have, make sure that you test it against Scripture, because if you come into contact with a being of light that tells you there's no hell, well, guess what? You've been deceived. And Scripture ought to keep you safe from those kinds of deceptions.
I think my concern would be twofold. One is definitely if you have come in contact with some kind of information post-death or something that contradicts Scripture, it should be disregarded.
Right.
Or if the person has an innocuous experience, like it sounds like Vicky's was, and yet they are tempted to do something with that experience, to make something more of it, to draw some conclusions that would be contrary to Scripture, that should also be warned against.
Well, there's another thing to think about here. You know, I might be flying in a plane, and I'm near Denver, and I have a near-Denver experience, but I've not yet been in Denver. The point that I'm making is that when we talk about near-death experiences, those people have not really died. You know, death involves a separation of the spirit from the body that is a permanent thing. I mean, it doesn't turn around unless God resurrects them. And so, you know, even though people talk a lot about near-death experiences, my point is that they've not really truly died in the biblical sense. And so, therefore, you must be very cautious about anything that you experience in that, you know, that mystical state. Certainly, we know that the powers of darkness have the ability to affect people who are in any kind of an altered state of consciousness or any kind of a mystical state. And therefore, I get back to what I said before. Test everything against Scripture.
Ron is listening in Seattle on KGNW. Hi, Ron. Ron, welcome. All right, let's see if we can talk with Gary in Austin, Texas, who listens on KLGO. Hi, Gary. Gary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I've got a question here. It might be a little off the subject. I don't know if it is or not. But what are the consequences of prolonged chanting, like, they have in, I guess, Buddhism or certain other religions? Can you give some information on that?
Gary, thank you very much for the call. I guess in a way that it is related to our subject, and that is attempting to make some sort of a spiritual connection. Now, he mentions there Buddhism or other meditation practices. People use these, especially here in the West, where we pull everything together in kind of one big melting pot. And I imagine there are people out there trying to use that to contact the spirit world. Ron, your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking in particular of Nishrin Shoshu Buddhism, because Nishrin Shoshu Buddhism is a particular form of Buddhism which involves chanting, or what they call decreeing. And it's almost like a parallel to what you see in the Word Faith movement. I mean, they chant for success. And by chanting this mystical phrase in Nishrin Shoshu Buddhism, it's allegedly something that's supposed to bring you health and wealth and all that kind of stuff. And I, of course, would warn people against this kind of thing, and I would tell people to replace that with prayer to the living God. Philippians 4 and numerous other passages talk about how we can bring our every need to God, and He will listen. No matter what's burdening us, we can take our needs to God. He will listen. He will help us. And, you know, how much better is that than just trying to chant your way into a, you know, Mercedes-Benz or, you know, a healthy lifestyle? If I thought that my success in life was, you know, hinging upon my chanting prowess, I'm not sure I'd have a very fulfilled life. But this is precisely what Nishrin Shoshu Buddhists believe. So, you know, I might also point out, this kind of brings to mind, you know, what the Bible says about babbling, endless babbling. You know, some of the ancient pagans used to babble in the sense of repeating the same old, you know, basically requests of their pagan deities, and they would repeat it over and over again, thinking that that would indebt the false gods to them. And, of course, Christ in the New Testament says that's absolutely false, that we should not babble like the pagans did.
Ron is in Seattle. KNGW is his station. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron. What's your question or comment?
Yes. As you've been discussing, psychic phenomena are experiencing a growing acceptance in our culture, even to the point where some law enforcement agencies are employing psychics and mediums to try to solve crimes, find missing persons. And some people would ask, how can that possibly be bad if the intent is to be good? I'd appreciate knowing some of your thoughts about that.
It's an excellent question. Thank you, Ron, and thanks for being patient. Ron?
Well, that is a good question, and in fact, what we see taking place today with the tremendous growth of psychic phenomena and belief in ghosts is that we are seeing television shows that really pull on the heartstrings of people in a way that's causing old-fashioned occultism to be whitewashed so that it appears to be good. After all, when you see these TV shows with psychics and police people, you know, working together to solve a crime, what could be wrong with that? But I need to get back to something I said in a previous show, and that is that almost without exception, police do not consult with psychics, that generally it is the family members of a victim who request police to check with the psychic. And as I pointed out in a previous show, almost without exception, the information provided by a psychic is not helpful towards solving the crime. But nevertheless, but to watch some of these television shows, it looks like everything is good with these shows and with psychic phenomena. In fact, on The Ghost Whisperer, it's got like violin strings playing in the background as you see people tearing up who are, you know, speaking to each other, you know, the living and the dead. And so it really pulls on the heartstrings and makes it look like it's wonderful and good. But this is something that God said is dark and dangerous. God is not a killjoy. God is not up there preventing us from doing things just because he wants us to not have fun. Rather, God knows that involvement in the occult will hurt us. And in fact, the polls indicate that people who get involved in the occult have a greater propensity to be discouraged and depressed. And, you know, the people have a tendency to have an aversion to God's word. They find it difficult to speak the name of Jesus. They have an aversion towards opening the Bible and reading it. There's even been a higher rate of suicide connected to people involved in the occult. I'm not trying to be alarmist there, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a higher level of suicide among occultists than with the general population. So as I said, God is not a cosmic killjoy trying to prevent us from doing things. Rather, God is warning us against occultism because he loves us and cares for us.
When we come back from this break, we're going to take some more of your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727, in the last 10 minutes of our conversation on the paranormal and psychic phenomenon. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, based in Frisco, Texas. He's authored numerous books, including his latest, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. 1-800-730-2727. You can email us here in the studio. We'll get your questions and comments right here and have Ron respond in the last 10 minutes. issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. One last question we've got to deal with, and it's been mentioned several times here. It goes to the basic deception of all of these things we've discussed. Whenever someone has the near-death experience, not whenever, but very often, or when they contact the medium, Ron has mentioned this, everything seems so good on the other side for everyone. It's a universalist message. Everyone dies, everyone survives death unscathed, everyone's happy on the other side. Don't worry about us. Why no hell and why no judgment according to all of these teachings? We'll be right back. Martin Luther wrote the Christmas Carol, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," in 1531 for his 5-year-old son. It became a part of the Christmas Eve celebration in the Luther home. In the Luther family tradition, a man dressed as an angel would sing the opening verses, and the children would respond with the rest of the carol. You and your children and grandchildren can continue this Christmas time celebration. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is called From Heaven Above. It's based on this famous carol by Martin Luther. From Heaven Above is a beautifully illustrated children's book. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December from heaven above.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Let's go right back to the phones in San Mateo, California, listening on KFAX. Christopher, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. Hi, this is Chris.
Hi. What's up, Chris?
Yes, I'm calling, but I was watching some time ago Sylvia Brown. It has to do with the young woman who disappeared from Modesto, and she was involved with a local congressman, Candid, and she was disappeared on her trip to Washington, D.C., and Sylvia Brown on the Montel show says that she was murdered and her remains are in the park, some like the corner of the park under debris. And sure enough, 7 months later, actually they found her debris in that area where she mentioned, where her description. I mean, I do not believe what she's, you know, doing all that stuff, but it was kind of mysterious that her remains appeared in that section of the park in Washington, D.C. What would you comment about that?
Chris, thank you very much. You mentioned this before, Ron, that sometimes these psychics, especially the famous ones, seem to hit the ball right out of the park.
Well, that's right. There are cases where they really nail it, and I think that in those cases there are demonic spirits involved, and these demonic spirits are, in this instance, telling the truth as to where the body may be. But the goal is to give credence to the false religion of spiritualism. So there's a motive for these demonic spirits in communicating this information through Sylvia Brown. Now, the other side of the coin is that Sylvia Brown has often been wrong. For example, I was listening to a live radio show in which Sylvia Brown was being interviewed, and this was the day where the miners in West Virginia died. You remember that?
Yeah.
And the situation was that the interviewer asked Sylvia Brown whether they would all live. And she said that based upon her contact with the spirit world, she was sure that all the miners would live. They went to commercial break. After the commercial, they came back, and the interviewer had a new updated news report which said that all had died except one. And you should have heard all the hem-hawing that went around at that point from the mouth of Sylvia Brown. I mean, she tried to backtrack. She tried to explain herself out of the hole that she dug herself. But the truth of the matter is that she was flat wrong, and she has been wrong many, many times. So, yes, sometimes she might nail it, but most of the time she gets it wrong, which separates her from the biblical prophets, because the biblical prophets have never been wrong.
Steve is listening in Pennsylvania on XM Radio. Hi, Steve.
Yes, good evening. The question I have is this. In 1990, my father died. When he died, he was buried, and about 2 weeks later, we were going past that cemetery with my two young children and the one son that was a little older. As we were passing, not right by the cemetery, within a mile, my little daughter said to me, she said, "Dad, I really miss my boo," and that was his nickname. And when she said that, she started to cry. Then her twin also felt the same thing, and then also the older boy felt it. Now, I have never had any real explanation why that happened. They did not know how close they were to his, you know, burial ground, and to me it's still a strange thing today. I don't understand.
All right, let's see what Ron has to say. Do your best here, Ron, in the
well,
time.
Well, you know, it's sort of hard to comment on an experience like that, except to say that, you know, when one child says something, that could cause a chain reaction with the other kids starting to think similarly. It could be just nothing more than coincidence. I've said before that when any kind of occurrence happens, I tend to gravitate toward a natural explanation unless there is clear evidence for supernatural involvement. Now, the natural explanation would be that simply the first child said something that was on her heart, and then the other two followed suit after hearing what the first one said. That would be my tendency here, instead of seeing something supernatural occur. And I think that, that there's really no need to look beyond the natural explanation in a case like this, because I see nothing that really, you know, is conclusive evidence that would suggest that there was anything other than, you know, a child missing her, you know, grandpa.
William writes this: I have been terrorized by a fear of ghosts ever since I can remember, even though nothing has ever happened to me to account for it. It is so bad that I'm 31 years old and can't live alone. During the day, I feel fine, but at night, I'm a mess. I recently found out that my mother, who had been estranged for many years, had the same fear, not about ghosts, but about demons and the devil. The only ties I ever had to the occult was that I was initiated into the Order of the Golden Dawn just before being converted to Christ, but have fully repented, and this condition predates that, going all the way back to being a toddler when every night I would have nightmares about ghosts. What do you suggest, Ron?
Well, that's a situation that sounds like something happened in early childhood that would, you know, cause something like this. It makes me wonder exactly what sparked this in the first place. You know, was this person told horror stories by a sibling or by a parent? Or did this person come into contact with some scary stories that she read? It's hard to say. One thing that I would probably recommend is to meditate on Psalm 91 before you go to bed at night, which tells us that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Down a little bit further, it says that it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. So in other words, instead of thinking about the powers of darkness, focus your attention on the God of light, especially in Psalm 91, which promises that you will not be afraid of the terror by night. The only thing I'd recommend beyond that is to try to you might want to get some counseling from your church pastor and try to find out what it was that caused this in the first place. You know, whether it was something in your childhood or whatever else. Could be that until you take care of that issue that you might still continue to have problems. But my best advice is Psalm 91.
William, if you will email us with your name and your mailing address, we'll send you a copy of Ron's new book called The Truth Behind Ghost Mediums and Psychic Phenomena. Finally then, Ron, why is it that in virtually every case, whether it's psychic or the medium or the near-death experience, the news is always good, everyone's crossed over, everyone's safe, and there's no judgment? Why don't you ever hear a psychic say, I'm sorry your loved one is burning in hell? Why no judgment in all of these things we've discussed? 1 minute.
Well, not only that, why isn't there useful information provided? I mean, why don't these spirits give us the cure for cancer? You know, or something else that's really useful. Why is it that 99% of the time the information is, we're fine on the other side, don't worry about us, live your life to the fullest, and we will see you soon? Doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus or whatever religion you hold to, we'll all be together in the end. You know, that's the common message. And to me, that's just a clear clue as to the true source, which is, you know, the demons, you know, under the headship of Satan. Satan is the father of lies, and he, along with all the demons, propagate doctrines of demons. And those are doctrines that stand against the biblical teachings of Scripture. And so, like I've said many times before, these are times for discernment. We need to get back to the Bible and use the Bible as the single barometer of truth in interpreting all of these claims that are coming from the other side.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Our goal is to have 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. And as our way of saying thanks, we'll send you the new I Have Issues t-shirt, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Ron Rhodes is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Frisco, Texas. His new book, among the many he's written, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. Ron, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You know, we broadcast this show from a very old and very big building, and it's late at night. It's almost midnight here in St. Louis, and we're the only ones in the building. It's dark. Downstairs, upstairs. My office is down in the basement. It's kind of creepy. Between the 2 hours of this program, I headed upstairs to check my mailbox. The lights are on up there, but it's still creepy. The offices are all dark. Felt a little tingle in my spine. The ghosts of old Lutheran broadcasters still wandering these halls? No. It's natural to be scared of these things because we don't know what is going on in this world we cannot see. Why would God warn us against attempting to contact the spirit world? It's very simple. And the answer is twofold. One, there is no need to. We are not equipped to do this. Not psychically, not emotionally, not spiritually. There's no need to contact those who have gone on before us. That is God's purview. And the second part of that answer, even more importantly, God has told us everything we do need to know about this world. He has delivered to us salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, who promises us protection from things we cannot see, who is the creator of things seen and unseen, and who has saved us from the real danger in that world and this world, our sin and death, by his death and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.